And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I have no equipment to complain about today. I have nothing Nick's done that's pissed me off yet. So, I got to say, can we just have normal freaking weather one day? Like, we have Arctic weather forever, and then it's going to pour rain. And today, I drove through fog that, like, John Carpenter would have stopped shooting on the movie The Fog today with the fog that was in Nolensville. Like, I was going, like, 8 miles an hour.
That's a great pull from you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, other than that, good. Looking forward to meeting the new Titans head coach today and moving forward with things.
You'll be happy to know that I'm headed for very normal weather.
I know. Oh, I know. Now, how hot is it down there?
It's going to be 85 next couple days.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well timed, man. Because actually, talking to my grandma, Phyllis Pratt, friend of the show, the other day, like, they were actually getting to freezing.
Yeah,
on the Gulf side, which is, yeah.
Things shut down there when that happens.
Yes. So you're getting 85. That's beautiful.
Nick Keyser, how we doing?
I'm good. It did feel like Halloween this morning. I mean, Joe's not wrong. The fog was very thick and apparently supposed to be foggy until 9, but here I am talking about weather. But anyway, it's all good. No, I'm doing well. I thought you were on vacation mode already, so there's that.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, Nick had all the stuff printed out for me because he thought you were actually gone today. He didn't know you were doing the show today.
Yeah, Nick totally thought I'd left already, even though I told him yesterday I was doing the show from home. But he thought I'd left.
Well, look, we can't blame a guy who listens to like 5% of the show anyway.
That is true.
What is he supposed to be following along with our lives? Come on.
That is very true.
He's in there doing something now. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he just doesn't care. It's all done at this point. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Some news from the Titans yesterday that we're going to spend a lot of time on today. Obviously, the hiring of Brian Callahan. He's got his introductory press conference coming up later today over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Also, a promotion for Rand Carthon as well involved in all this as well. So we're going to get hot and heavy into that here in just a few minutes. Todd Richards, Predators assistant coach, joining us at 7:15. You'll hear from Patrick Willis, legendary Tennessean and Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, coming up at 7:30. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports talking Titans and all things NFL from 8 to 8:30 today. Here on the program. Joe, we begin with the news yesterday for the Titans. So, as predicted on our program yesterday, 9:17 a.m. was the time that I threw out there that the Titans would come out and make it official that Brian Callahan was the coach. I believe, Joe, that I saw the tweet roll across there at 9:14. So, just a few minutes off from when the Titans actually made it official in the immediate aftermath of our show. But we now know who has final say. It is Rand Carthon. He gets a promotion throughout all this. He has final say not only over the roster, Joe, but also final say over the coaching staff, which I thought was an interesting way to put it yesterday as well. What did you make of, I guess, the official hiring of Brian Callahan? And the more newsworthy event of the day yesterday is what it means for Rand Carthon now, with a much bigger role and seemingly much bigger influence as it relates to the roster, coaching staff, all those things.
Yeah, well, there's clarity. There's still some confusion, but there's more clarity, certainly. And so, first of all, credit to Amy Adams Strunk for following through on what she said. I saw John Glennon tweet yesterday, you know, this is the official announcement of the coach, but it feels like the Titans have basically, like, overshadowed it with the Rand stuff, which is true. But to me, that's the way you do this. You do it yesterday with the release, and then today you can kind of resume, here's the new coach, let's talk about the new coach and the football and all this. Not that that'll be the only topic, but I think the confusion is like a little bit of like Chad Brinker and his title and all this stuff. I mean, I think that needs to be clarified a little bit. I know people got mad at Jared yesterday for, you know, suggesting that as president he's Rand's boss, but like in a lot of companies, that those titles, that's whatever department you're in, those mean something. You know what I mean? Like, it's Rand's executive vice president, Chad Brinker's president. I understand he's president of a different division, but I mean, I think that would be good to clarify. It does seem that they're sort of equals now, which is interesting, but still, Rand is the chooser of players. He is the empowered GM. So there can be no question now. You know, we don't have to next year, you know, when like we were this year. Andre Dillard, who really liked him? You know, whose fault really is it? Who has more power? How's it going? What are the conversations like? When it comes down to it, the buck stops with Rand Carthon on choosing of players, and that's nice clarity to have. And I do think that this represents also a moment to say, all right, let's – like I don't think his first year was disastrous. Again, whatever, whoever did what, said what, it's still his first year as GM. It wasn't disastrous. It wasn't great. It was probably – I mean, I would say it was definitely not good overall free agency and I think potentially quite good draft. But now – here we go. It's a totally different situation. There's no Mike Vrabel to dance around. There's no let's try to figure this relationship out. He hired the coach. He led the search for the coach. He's picking the players. So in a way, this is kind of a new start of the Rand Carthon era.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, like you said, there's no more guessing and wondering who's picking who wanted which player, who's in charge of final say of the roster, like all that stuff's gone at this point. And it's the Rand Carthon show. And like you said, like Rand Carthon last year, you know, who picked Andre Dillard, how much of it was Vrabel, how much of it was Carthon, you know, the draft part of it, you know, as you pointed out in your story, you know, Ryan Cowden running the draft board doesn't necessarily mean that Ryan Cowden was the one picking the players for the Titans in the draft last year. But now, none of that matters anymore. Like, it's the Rand Carthon show. I, for one, Joe, am glad that after today, the final say conversation can permanently be retired because I was growing very tired of the final say conversation. Oh. So I'm glad that Amy Adams Strunk followed through on what she said she would do, and she laid that out pretty clearly yesterday when it comes to who that responsibility is going to fall on. Here was the statement from Amy Adams Strunk, talking about Rand Carthon. Quote, over the past year, Rand has impressed me and our staff with his innovative approach to roster building. Rand's exceptional reputation around the league as a talent evaluator and culture builder was a clear competitive advantage during last year's free agency and draft process, as well as our recent search for a head coach. Simply put, Rand Carthon makes the Tennessee Titans a destination for the league's top talent. By expanding his role to include full roster control and oversight of the coaching staff, our organization will now benefit more completely from Rand's unique ability to build and lead a championship caliber football team. That was the statement from AB Adam Strunk. We'll get to one part in particular of that statement that's a little bit of a head scratcher coming up here in just a few minutes, but pretty clear that right now, Amy Adam Strunk's got full confidence in Rand Carthon.
Yeah, and I think some may have expected. You know, if you're talking 49ers, and we talked about this, okay? If you're talking 49ers model, then does that mean you're going to get a coach and you're saying, okay, and you are ultimately in control of the 53 and personnel matters. That's what the 49ers do. But as we've also talked about, you know, Kyle Shanahan's a different situation than Brian Callahan. Kyle Shanahan, when he got that job, Super Bowl OC, second job as an OC in the league, had been an OC for several years, calling plays, all that stuff, and he was a very coveted head coaching candidate. Not that Callahan, I mean, he's been a candidate the last couple of years for different jobs, but I think everything that the Titans have gone through, I think it would have been really weird to then not do it this way. We had this argument yesterday on a big win for me on Jared versus Joe.
Yes.
You know, you know, all the things that got us to this point here, wondering if, you know, what they're going to do with that. To me, it would have been weird to then not have Rand Carthon have final say. I think that's just the natural progression of things. Now, I think in some situations, you know, a coach maybe has more control, but I think they're probably going to say that C word today again. And as tiresome as that is, along with the phrase final say, man, that is what it has to be in every single organization. But the clarity's good. I think that's the big thing. Clarity, we don't have to talk about it. There shouldn't be a single question about it today, right? And there's no reason to. Unless Amy Adams Strunk is taking questions, and I guess it's like, you know, why did you decide this? But I don't think she's going to take questions. So that's nice to get past it. You know, one thing I've learned about through this thing, Rob, there's still a lot of teams out there where people don't know exactly.
Yeah,
you know, I think a lot of teams still like, we would prefer to keep it that way, right? Like there's some teams where you do know and there's clarity, but there's a lot of teams where it's kind of like, yeah, you know, no one's really defined it yet. And I think it's like basically it's a lot easier to do that if you're having success and harder to do that if you're struggling.
Yeah, no question about it. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. What did you make of Amy Adams' Strunk statement yesterday? With a promotion for Rand Carthon, he's got final say over the roster. He's got final say over the coaching staff. And there was one part in particular of the statement that we just read that is a little bit of a head-scratcher. We'll get into that coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe, we read the statement from Amy Adams Strunk yesterday regarding Rand Carthon and his promotion. There's one part of that that's a little bit strange. That stands out, I know, to you. It was one of the first things you noticed and made me kind of raise an eyebrow, too. Quote, simply put, Rand Carthon makes the Tennessee Titans a destination for the league's top talent. By expanding his role to include full roster control and oversight of the coaching staff, our organization will now benefit more completely from Rand's unique ability to build and lead championship-caliber football team. So it makes it sound like to me in this statement from Amy Adams Strunk, Joe, that she believes Rand Carthon is going to be an attractive draw for like free agents and players to come here to Nashville. To which the, you know, as you brought up in our off the air discussion yesterday, a general manager makes a team attractive to come join. Like we hear that about coaches who have a direct impact of what happens on the field on game day. We certainly hear that about quarterbacks and other players. But a general manager? I thought that was a pretty interesting statement from Amy Adams Strunk.
I mean, what? What are we talking about? I don't mean to pick on young Sam Phelan. I'm probably going to pick on him because he beat me in the Titans Media League championship game.
Probably so.
But he tweeted, I got to find his tweet, because he and I went back and forth on this. And basically like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, how? I've never heard of such a thing. Now, someone did throw at me John Elway. So is that Peyton Manning? Did Peyton Manning go to the Denver Broncos because he's like, ooh, man, I want to play for John Elway? I mean, I'm sure John Elway, as I responded to this Vols Twitter person.
Yeah.
I'm sure John Elway did a good job of recruiting Peyton Manning, and they had the shared, you know, quarterback background and all that stuff, and they could talk about what it would be like for Peyton. But to me, I think Peyton wanted to get a good contract and win a championship, right? Like if it was a different GM, if it was, whoever, just a non-quarterback, a non-exciting GM, but who had done a good job of
Mike Reinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds. If he's the GM, does that ward off Peyton Manning? Like, here's Sam's tweet. He said, you know, he quotes it. Says, again, this is the quote. Quote, simply put, Rand Carthon makes the Tennessee Titans a destination for the league's top talent. End quote. And then Sam writes, powerful statement from Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strunk. It's Rand Carthon show now. And I just responded, has a GM ever made a team a destination for top talent? Like, and then we went back and forth, and he's like, he points to the signings of Alshire and Brunskill and Key. I'm like, yeah, but that's relationships, right? So if someone
it's
is with
not top talent.
Well, yeah. There's that too. Yes. He also mentioned the Simmons extension. I was like, any GM here is going to do that. Like that's like, and Simmons would have signed here with, I mean, Simmons, who by the way, has been out there defending Vrabel on Twitter after, you know, I know Wesley Woodyard launched another assault on Vrabel yesterday. But yeah, I don't see that at all. I think Rand has contact. So I think maybe it's just the phrasing that could have been better. I think Rand Carthon certainly has great relationships and contacts in the league. And Rand is a likable person. So, I mean, someone comes in here and there's going to be good conversation and all that stuff. But, like, the idea of anybody picking a team because of a GM, unless it's that GM is the best GM in the league, that GM builds championship teams. So, I guess, kind of indirectly, I could see that. But as far as, like, the GM, him or herself, I don't think that'll ever happen in sports. The coach, yes. The coach is who you play for. That's who you deal right with on a daily basis. That's you're working with the coach on trying to win games. The GM's over there with all the suits. The suits are up in the suits area. They're, you know, they're cutting your friends and they're bringing in new players and you're hoping they don't cut you and you're hoping they give you a big extension. Like I don't see that at all.
Yeah, I mean I hope it's just bad phrasing because if she actually thinks that like the Titans are going to be this magical destination of free agent players wanting to flock over here because Rand Carthon's the general manager and he's got more power. Like that's just total fantasy land to me. Like you said, I mean, it's nothing to do with Rand Carthon. It's the position. It's a general manager. So I don't know how many players across the league are like, you know what? They've got that general manager. That's why I'm going there. It just doesn't really work that way. So, you know, maybe just bad phrasing on that part. Look, it's clear that Amy Adams Strunk has been very impressed by Rand Carthon over the last year plus that he's been there. I mean, that is obvious from the actions that she has taken to this point and the statement that she has put out there. Now, you know, at one point she had been really impressed by John Robinson and by Mike Vrabel, and that changed pretty quickly. So we'll see what that looks like with Rand Carthon. Now it's on him. And, you know, as Ed on the text line points out, says, I love it. We now know who to blame. If the field gets set on fire, then it's Chad Brinker. If the draft sucks, then it's Rand, as Ed puts.
And which one do you care more about?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the dynamic has certainly changed here, but there's no question that there's some pretty strong stuff in there from Amy Adams Strunk about Rand Carthon.
This is actually pretty funny from Liam McLeod. Of course he makes it more attractive for free agents. Look how much they were willing to pay Dillard. Well, I suppose if your reputation is we will overpay not very good players, then you know you can get some not very good players will be attracted to them.
Yes.
But the thing is, again, you know, players want to go, first of all, they're, you know, just like anyone would, just like I would, you would, anybody would, they want to go where they're most valued, but also they want to win. And so if things go well here, then, you know, I can see that maybe being a factor. Again, like, Rand is a very liked person around the league and all that stuff, so that's good, but I mean, players aren't making their choices on that. LD from McMinnville on the whole structure thing says, PK Kaharski said, the president of football operations isn't on the same level as executive VP. Carthon is more powerful, at least in appearance. Yeah, I will give Jared, like, I think Jared is overreacting, okay? But in some companies, it is like it's simply like, you know, you have these titles, whatever the departments are, they still signify who's above who. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's weird that they have him as president of football operations. I don't know why they wouldn't just have him as EVP of football operations. But the whole corporate title thing is also just like we could do a rant on that one. It's pretty funny.
It's getting out of control.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, junior VP and executive VP, and, you know, I mean, even in college athletics, it's like, you know, athletic director, and then everybody was an assistant athletic director, and it's like, oh, no, I'm an assistant. This happened to me. I wrote about somebody in an athletic department and just wrote assistant athletic director, and he actually emailed me and said, no, I'm associate athletic director.
Oh.
Like, okay. Oh. So I actually, like, made a joke about it then, and then he didn't take kindly to it. But, and so then it's like then you get senior associate athletic director. You know, I mean, the Vols, I think they have like executive associate athletic director. I mean, it's out of
hand. Absurd.
Yeah.
My favorite was when we got on the coaching side last year to the pass game coordinator, but it was on the defensive side of the ball. I was like, now we're getting to defensive pass game coordinators. Awesome.
Yes. I think I said this on the show, but back when they hired Chris Harris a year ago, I was asking someone in the organization, like, okay, what is it? So, yeah, it's just agent BS, but, you know, say the word. That's what it is. Well, my client got this title. Ooh.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Yes, very exciting stuff there. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, there is another part of this that is really interesting in terms of the dynamic now in place with Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans, and one that if executed improperly, I think could be a huge mistake for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines all show long. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, broadcasting from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. I got some tickets to give away to see Stained with special guest Seether at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd. Be caller 3-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Stained with special guest Seether at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, in this conglomeration of statements put out yesterday by the Tennessee Titans, we know that Rand Carthon has final say over the roster, and we know that Rand Carthon will have final say slash oversight slash whatever you want to call it on Brian Callahan and the coaching staff as well. What did you make of that part of this with Rand Carthon in charge of the coaching staff part of it as well?
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that I think definitely gets asked today for clarification. I don't like it. You know, the thing is, we think about Vrabel's tenure. You know, obviously there's all the questions about this player, that player, who did this, who did that. But it's not like anybody, you know, looked at anybody else if Vrabel hired an assistant that didn't pan out, right? And now I will say, you think about Vrabel coming in, Matt LaFleur is his OC. Was that Vrabel saying, "Now I really want this Matt LaFleur"? I know, by right. the way, I do know that Vrabel tried to get Ryan Day to leave Ohio State as OC and become his OC.
Yeah.
But Matt LaFleur, basically, who had interviewed for this job, to me, that was John Robinson saying, "Here's a great OC for you." Okay. That's starting out. But that's also, and look, maybe, I guess you could look at this situation and say maybe Rand has a great contact, like, on the defensive side of the ball or something. But, like, all of the offensive staff here that Brian Callahan's putting together, I mean, I think it should be him. It should be his choices. And so, like, let's go down, let's play it out, you know, some, you know, whatever aspect it is. You know, offensive line coach again, or receipt, whatever, you know, usually it's coordinators. So now, down the line, then people, you're actually mad at Rand rather than Brian? I mean,
right.
I know sometimes some of this is splitting hairs. I mean, we want to know every little thing. Who does this? Who does that? I just, to me, like, I think that the head coach should have autonomy with the coaching staff. I think that's how it should be.
Well, I hope, and I'm interested to see his approach on this. I hope that Rand Carthon has enough, I don't know if patience is the right word, or enough, I guess, the ability to step back and say, yes, while I might have final say and I might have quote unquote oversight of the coaching staff, especially as this guy is new and is assembling his staff, I'm going to let him do his thing and I'm going to let him pick his guys. And then maybe, Joe, at some point, if things aren't going well and Carthon feels like there's some assistant coaches or some staff members that need to be changed, then at that point you step in. I would hope to begin things here that Carthon kind of lets Callahan do his thing as far as the coaching staff is concerned. And if he needs to adjust somewhere down the road, then you adjust down the road, would be the way I hope this is approached by Carthon.
Right. And so, also, of course, we've had with Vrabel. You had Craig Aukerman fired this year. You had, you've had, you know, other firings, you know, previously to that, but especially like Aukerman this year. So obviously, it's like, okay, is that Vrabel? Is that ownership, you know, stepping in? So I guess if something like that were to happen here, then is that Ran?
That's a good question. I mean, that's probably the first assumption you make at this point, right? If
it's written,
if he's
that
the
way.
One that's got, yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's, if it happens, my assumption is probably going to go to Ran.
I mean, obviously, oversight is also one of those words that could be, you know, could be used different ways, could be perceived different ways. But I just, you know, basically the whole statement, I mean, the clarity on Brinker is probably a good thing. The title thing's a little bit confusing, or could be taken that way. But the oversight and the coaching staff and the destination for top talent, you took those out, and I'd say it's a very good statement.
I got a texter on the text line that says, players' agents decide who players interview with and what teams they stay away from. A popular general manager with agents will help the Titans. I'm not saying a popular general manager with agents won't help the Titans, but players' agents do not decide who players interview with. Players' agents work for players. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, they get 3%. Do they help, you know, arrange some things? Do they advise their clients? Sure. If you think a player, you know, an agent's like, hey man, I just love Ran. You're talking to the Titans.
Yeah, you're going to the
Ran
Titans.
Is my guy. I love Ran. Come on. It's, you know, every agents work for the players, and they have the same, you know, first of all, for agents, it's absolutely what is the best contract. You know, they're only getting 3% of it, so it's more important to them that you get the best possible contract. But also, you know, whatever they're, I mean, if a client's chasing a ring, that's what the agent, hey, listen, Derek, I know that you're getting a big offer here from the defending Super Bowl champion Ravens, but Ran's awesome, isn't he? Derek. Yeah, it's just,
Derek,
I don't.
Don't go anywhere. Ran Carthon, my favorite general manager to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Like someone said, you know, maybe they don't mean just players. They mean like coach, you know, in front office and coaching talent. I mean, I didn't take it that way, but, you know, Ran Carthon did just hire a viable head coach, you know, who had interest from other teams. So obviously the interview went well, not just on the Titans side, you know, interviewing Callahan, but it must have gone well to some extent on the other side.
Well, here's a situation where two things can be true, at least from my perspective, Joe. We were, you know, we talked about the discussion of the Vrabel firing and the way that everything went down. And I thought it was a bad look from ownership. I thought it was kind of a rash decision. I thought, you know, the way that all played out, I don't know how you went from in November being excited for Mike Vrabel to be your head coach of the future and talking about it publicly to 6 weeks later, you were ready to fire Mike Vrabel. So we talked about all that. We don't have to rehash all that out. I do think in the aftermath of that and the aftermath of what I thought was a very poor press conference from Ran Carthon a couple of weeks ago, the Titans coaching search went pretty well, right? I mean, they identified a bunch of different candidates. They identified, I think, pretty clearly the person that they wanted early in the process, and they went out and hired that person. So, you know, the results of it, whether or not that was a good hire, are going to be yet to be determined. We'll see what happens with Brian Callahan and if he can turn this thing around and what that looks like from a win-loss perspective. But the process of getting to it, I think Ran Carthon deserves credit for doing a pretty good job on that front.
No, I agree. I mean, look, they got into it. They talked about, you know, the whole trade thing was a big question at the beginning. Then we find out about the main trade partner wasn't a trade partner, but they talked about the need to get right in there. They got in there. It's pretty obvious who they liked from the start, and there were his other interests, and they got him. And I don't know. I don't know if Brian Callahan gets another job. They didn't let him get to two other interviews he had scheduled. So, you know, and they did cast a wide net, and I think that was, I think it's better to do that than to not. I think it's good to interview a variety of candidates. Look, there's still the, you know, the whole, I mean, we'll, it all comes down to how this goes. I mean, I think it's still fair to question, as Jim Harbaugh now is the Chargers head coach. You know, Belichick, Vrabel are out there. Obviously, Vrabel wouldn't have been a candidate. But, you know, the complete dismissal from the start of these highly successful established head coaches as an option. I mean, you know, but that's the way they went. They're trying to kind of start something from the ground up with a guy who is a very viable and exciting candidate. So, yeah, I think you have to give credit for the way it went.
Well, and one of the statements – I guess one of the quotes from the statement that got Titans fans pretty fired up yesterday was Amy Adams Strunk saying, quote, "This is not my father's NFL," and talking about going through, you know, whether it's analytics or whether it's, you know, the ever-changing landscape of modern day football. It's pretty clear that Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans feel like a new direction is needed. And I guess modernization of the way that they run their organization has been a pretty consistent theme, whether you're talking about offensive football that they're trying to get into and, you know, PK's discussion about passing the ball yesterday and Brian Callahan's views on that, or just the, you know, the analytics. And, you know, we talked about that even last year with Carthon coming in and with Chad Brinker coming in and with Anthony Robinson coming in, like just kind of catching up in that regard to some of the other teams around the NFL. The "it's not my father's NFL" quote got Titans fans fired up yesterday, Joe.
Yep, that's a good quote. I mean, definitely, "it's not my father's NFL" is a good quote. I thought maybe the most interesting two words in that statement from Amy Adams Strunk was the words of sports science. Because I do think that, because along with, yes, like you said, analytics and all that stuff, try to be as modern as possible on the cutting edge and doing all the things that the successful organizations are doing. But the sports science part of it, I think, is more confirmation that, right or wrong, at some point, through this whole thing with all the injuries with Vrabel, how many times did we, first of all, say, it's hard to believe that, like, you know, that their trainers are bad or whatever, but that Amy Adams Strunk, if I'm the owner of the team, I am just saying, okay, then what the heck is happening? Right. Why? I mean, I do think that player selection was part of it, you know, in some cases, but still, why? Is it the way Vrabel practices? Whatever it is, right? So I take that part of the statement as another kind of an acknowledgement of some blame had to go to the last regime, and they're going to try to fix that. So, look, again, it's hard to really identify it it's hard to really exactly evaluate what the heck happened there, but it's a trend that was a bad trend, and so I feel like that was mentioned in the statement. I think that was very deliberate.
Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things for this week in sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles, yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst thing in sports. We'll take your thoughts, your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Sometimes I feel bad that I go first, so I'm gonna leave alone that the Titans hired what looks like could be a good head coach if anybody else wants to take it. If not, that's fine. I'm just saying I'm leaving.
That's not mine. You go ahead.
Well, I mean, I have another best. My best is the Detroit Lions. I mean, I have to go to the Detroit Lions with my best.
That was my best.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I have many options.
There we go. It's a great story. It's a great story. It's I had so much fun watching that game with family and hearing from a ton of people, and it's just been fun to see people rally around that team. I think it's a very likable team, it's a great sports story. We have this, I'd say fairly often in various leagues, that you'll have that team that kind of people, maybe, a lot of people have their teams out of it now, and so is there one team for everybody to rally around, and it seems like it's them. I know I saw some map the other day. It's some survey. I have no idea, how many people were surveyed. 11? I don't know. But it was like every single state but California rooting for the Lions in the NFC Championship game against the Niners. It's been a lot of fun, and good for them. You got to tip the cap and give credit, because that is a lot to overcome. Just the history and the culture of losing, and they've done it no matter what happens Sunday. My worst is the discussion around Josh Allen. And I think this is another great example of, like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. It's kind of like the discussion around Brock Purdy. I could probably throw those two together. Like, Brock Purdy, this is what I see every day. Oh, this guy's not great. Look at this throw. And it's like some throw in the game against the Packers. And then it's people who are like, he's an absolute scrub who wouldn't start for anybody else. He's just starting because he's with the – he's not an MVP, and he's not a scrub. And it's the same thing with Josh Allen in terms of, so much of the, he can't get it done. Huge disappointment. What are they going to do about Josh Allen? Well, that's the best thing they got going for him. It's Josh Allen. He's a great player. Is he as great as Patrick Mahomes? No, he's not. He's not as great as Patrick Mahomes. I don't know where he ranks exactly, but I would take him as my quarterback. He's a great player. And he made plays in that game that could have won it, and he missed a couple plays too. And Patrick Mahomes made a couple more than he made, because Patrick Mahomes is the best freaking quarterback in the NFL. But it's not binary. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And I think those two quarterbacks are great examples of the frustration. And a lot of it goes to the daytime arguing shows that get more attention than they should.
Nick Kesey, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Let's start with the Nashville Predators. I think that them honoring the alums the way that they are is awesome. I mean, we've waited for this for a long time to see in Nashville what they would possibly do. We've seen Rene get his own statue. We've seen different guys get honored, and they'll also have Captain's Night on February 13th against the Devils. And I think it's awesome that the alums got to come back, at least a select few of them got to come back and sign their own pucks and be honored for that first season. And so it's a special time. It's obviously the 25th anniversary. So I love that for them. It was nice to meet a lot of those guys and just hear their thoughts on what has changed in the time frame, for sure. My worst, I was at the dentist when I saw this. Adrian Griffin got fired by the Bucks, and I immediately thought, why? And I never really cared that much about the NBA, but it really bothers me that the whole narrative can become, this is about the players saying, we don't want him as a head coach anymore. In the middle of a season when you're 30-13, I just find that ridiculous. Why on earth would it be this time of the season when you fire your coach? Obviously, Doc Rivers, great coach, great hire, but also, what's going on? He is a little overrated for sure. But I just am not a fan of how players handle situations like this. They just blow up, and then they're dancing last night when they're at their pregame just stretching out and getting announced. And I'm like, what is going on? I just don't understand that. I think that's just ridiculous, Robbie.
That was a weird firing. I mean, look, obviously I'm not keeping up with the day-to-day of the Milwaukee Bucks, so I don't know what was going on behind the scenes there that maybe led to it. But, I mean, the initial reaction, Joe, that I saw too was, oh, they're 30-13 in second place in the Eastern Conference, and they fired their coach. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a wild one, man. I mean, that is a wild one. Have they made a hire?
Yeah, it's Doc Rivers.
It's Doc Rivers,
They did officially make the Doc Rivers hire.
Oh, yeah.
Deep sigh. Nice guy. Deep sigh. Yeah.
Nice guy. No question about it. My best thing in sports is Tennessee men's basketball, Joe. You'll be very proud of me. They look very good. Dalton Connect, big, important player on that team, a difference-making player that maybe they've not had in a while. I'm not going to say that they're winning the national title like Joe Rexroad is, but I am excited to see what they do come March. So my best in sports goes to Tennessee men's basketball, and my worst in sports goes to Vanderbilt men's basketball, and specifically the fan base, which I feel bad for right now, because Vanderbilt men's basketball, as you know, Joe, has a long history. I mean, look, it's not like they're North Carolina or Duke or anything like that, but they've been a respectable program for a long time. That gym at Memorial Gym used to be a place where it was really difficult to come into and win, and I've seen a lot of people talking about it this week of Jerry Stackhouse, and Jack Gentry talked about it on A to Z Sports. I thought it made some really good points as well. I just – it's sad to watch right now what's going on with that team and with that program. And they got hammered again the other day by Mississippi State on the road. I'm looking at conference play right now, Joe, and, you know, trying to determine how many wins they're going to get in conference play. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they'll sneak up and grab a couple here, but it's a rough go right now for Jerry Stackhouse and that program.
Nah, it's a bad situation. I mean, it's year five, and it's gone. It's just basically collapsed this year. So, I think basically we're in the situation of just waiting to see what Candace Lee does at the end of the season. But, you know, to me, 5 years, no NCAA tournaments. Got close last year. SEC Coach of the Year last year, a year ago. I thought that he had maybe turned the corner. A year ago, they lose 101-44 to Alabama. And remember, it was kind of like this discussion, but they weren't, you know, the season wasn't over yet. And they turn around. They beat Tennessee. They beat Kentucky. They beat Auburn. But there's no such revival coming with this team.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and the promotion of Rand Carthon coming up next. Take your thoughts on that. Predators assistant coach Todd Richards will join us at 7:15. And you'll hear from Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Patrick Willis and legendary Tennessean at 7:30. And Tennessee Vols fans, I can promise you, you're going to want to hear that conversation. That's all coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.